When she insisted again on my having a beer with her, I accepted. While she was getting it from the kitchen, I looked around the room again. What I hadn't noticed before was that the part of the wall behind me had been cleared away, all the furniture pushed to one side of the room or the center, so that the far wall, the plaster of which had been torn off to expose the brick, served as an art gallery. Paintings were crowded to the ceiling, and others were stacked against each other on the floor. Several of them were self-portraits, including two nudes. The painting she had been working on when I came in, the one on the easel, was a half-length nude of herself, showing her hair long, not the way she wore it now, up in blonde braids coiled around her head like a crown, down to her shoulders, with part of her long tresses twisted around the front and resting between her breasts. She had painted her breasts up-tilted and firm, with the nipples an unrealistic lollipop red. When I heard her coming back with the beer, I spun away from the easel quickly, stumbled over some books, and pretended to be interested in a small autumn landscape on the wall. I was relieved to see that she had slipped into a thin, ragged housecoat, even though it had holes in all the wrong places, and I could look directly at her for the first time. Not exactly beautiful, but her blue eyes and pert, snub nose gave her a cat-like quality that contrasted with her robust, athletic movements. She was about 35, slender and well-proportioned. She set the beers on the hardwood floor, curled up beside them in front of the sofa, and motioned for me to do the same. "I find the floor more comfortable than chairs," she said, sipping the beer from the can. "Don't you?" I told her I hadn't thought about it, and she laughed and said I had an honest face. She was in the mood to talk about herself. She avoided Greenwich Village, she said, because there, instead of painting, she would be spending all her time in bars and coffee shops. "It's better up here, away from the phonies and the dilettantes. Here I can do what I want, and no one comes to sneer. You're not a sneerer, are you?" I shrugged, trying not to notice the gritty dust all over my trousers and my hands. "I guess we all sneer at something. You're sneering at the phonies and dilettantes, aren't you?" After a while, I said I'd better be getting over to my own apartment. She pushed a pile of books away from the window, and I climbed over newspapers and paper bags filled with empty quart beer bottles. "One of these days," she sighed, "I've got to cash them in." I climbed onto the windowsill and out to the fire escape. When I got my window open, I came back for my groceries, but before I could say thanks and goodbye, she started out onto the fire escape after me. "Let's see your place. I've never been there. Before you moved in, the two little old Wagner sisters wouldn't even say good morning to me." She crawled through my window behind me and sat on the ledge. "Come on in," I said, putting the groceries on the table. "I don't have any beer, but I can make you a cup of coffee." But she was looking past me, her eyes wide in disbelief. "My God, I've never seen a place as neat as this. Who would dream that a man living by himself could keep a place so orderly?" "I wasn't always that way," I apologized. "It's just since I moved in here. It was neat when I moved in, and I've had the compulsion to keep it that way. It upsets me now if anything is out of place." She got down off the windowsill to explore the apartment. "Hey," she said suddenly, "do you like to dance? You know." She held out her arms and did a complicated step as she hummed a Latin beat. "Tell me you dance and I'll bust." "Only the foxtrot," I said, "and not very good at that." She shrugged. "I'm nuts about dancing, but nobody I ever meet that I like is a good dancer. I've got to get myself all dolled up once in a while and go downtown to the Stardust Ballroom. Most of the guys hanging around down there are kind of creepy, but they can dance."